Chapter 1.
I was washing alembics when he came. Often in the months and years that followed, I wondered how things might have turned out had I been away from home. My father had been summoned to one of his private patients, and I had pleaded to go with him to the great man's house, for I had never even stepped over the threshold of the mansion in the Strand. But the winter had been severe. We were short of many remedies, and I must stay at home and wash the alembics so that we might spend the evening distilling. I did not like being alone in the house, with the dark afternoon heavy in the sky outside and chill draughts plucking at the back of my neck like the unforgiving fingers of the dead. The old timbers of the house swayed and creaked and moaned in the wind. My father entrusted the delicate glass vessels, so costly to replace, to no one but me. His own hands had grown unsteady with age, and our maid Joan could shatter an earthenware pitcher on the far side of the room merely by looking at it. So I had heated water over the fire until it was hot to the touch, but bearable, and poured it into the big basin which was used only for the instruments of our profession. From a pot on the windowsill, I scooped out half a handful of the grey soap, the consistency of soft cheese, and stirred it into the steaming water. It was cold in the kitchen, and for a moment I closed my eyes and enjoyed the warmth soothing my hands and the smell of the lavender and rosemary oils I mixed with the soap. Then I lowered the first alembic into the water and wiped it over with a rag, dipping and pouring until the tubes and nozzles were clean. Rinsed free of soap, for no foreign body must contaminate our remedies, it stood draining on the wooden table while I picked up the next one. The row of four was drying on the table as I lifted the heavy basin across to where my father had contrived a drain to run out through the wall and empty into the street outside. The sudden rush of water sometimes gave passers-by a soaking. It was just as I poured the water away that I heard the running footsteps approaching our door. I glanced around fearfully. Joan was away at the market, and my father would not return for an hour or more. There was nowhere to hide. The water pouring out of the house would have given away my presence, and I had lit a candle, the better to see my work, even though it was not yet dark outside. The room was illuminated like a play at one of the indoor playhouses, the candlelight reflected off the glass vessels, gleaming warmly on the dark oak of table and benches, chest and cupboard. I had no time to retreat to the inner parlour. We do not readily open our door to strangers, the people of my nation. I saw a blur as someone ran past the window. Then he was pounding on the door and crying out something incoherent. So I must answer. On such trivial matters may a life turn, to follow a new road, to heaven or hell, who knows? All I knew at the time was that I did not want to answer, and I wished my father were there. When I opened the door, the boy blew in on a gust of bitter January air, bringing with him the blood stench of Smithfield Market round the corner, and the piteous cries of the beasts awaiting slaughter in the shambles. I had to lean my shoulder against the door to close it, for it was a poor thing of nailed boards that bellied in the wind like a ship's sail. All the while I struggled with it, he was doubled up, gasping, his hand pressed against his side. "Poison!"